Morton and Fletch in the City of Cat. Morton comes to the gates of the city, a great walled city with high gates for the carts and horses and camels to pass through, the walls standing heavy in the heat of the desert sun. And Morton thinks, it is easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle than to be a camel. And he laughs. At last he can joke, a lightness to ease the burden. Walking in the way of Dog, of Nav, Dog's only puppy, with his mission from Dog to teach love to those who know not how to love. He can walk, too, in the way of Ralph, the disciple of Nav, always joking, his burden lifted a little. Fletch at his side, Fletch, the faithful one, alert, his head too big, his paws too small, some say the very image of Pharaoh so long ago. Fletch senses the difference, a lightness in the walk of Morton, and he yips. They will teach together, he with his small yips to the dogs, Morton with his stories and the wisdom of Dog, and now with jokes, a little laughter. They come to the gates of the city. A great image of Cat stands above the entrance, a statue on top of the high wall above the entrance, and written in a scratching script, clear for all to see, "Abandon Dog, all ye who enter here." This is indeed a city of Cat, a place where the humans have need to learn of love. They pass through, the guards so lazy, so indolent, they do not notice or do not care to stop them. Then Fletch stops. He sniffs. He growls softly, alert, warning Morton. Here is Cat. He looks at Morton, then stares at the largest guard, a big, fat, sweating man reclining on a couch at the gate. And Morton sees that he has no thumbs, for this is the cat of Cat called Sloth. Sloth sees that Morton is with Fletch, that a dog is about to enter the city, but he does not stir. He gazes at them with cat eyes, malevolent, yet unwilling to get up. They enter the city, dusty, sand and stones for the paths between the walls of the houses. Twisting paths continue on and on in a confusing maze. No green at all. Then looking up, Morton sees a palm showing above a wall. Some vines along the top of another wall. Inside must be gardens they hide from all. Truly, this is a city of Cat, where they do not share the good they have, where fear and greed, the cats of Cat, have power over the men and women. They continue, Fletch now very close to Morton with a hand on Fletch, uneasy, the burden of their mission now great. They come to an open area surrounded by the walls of houses, where a fountain runs, clear water. They go to it, Morton dry with thirst, lifts Fletch to drink, a cry from a man, a great cry, "No, dogs are unclean, no dog may drink from the waters of the fountain." Unclean? Dogs unclean? Then Morton, still dry with thirst, takes his bowl. He scoops it into the water and walks slowly to a path between walls where none can see, and he puts the bowl down. Fletch laps from it, wagging his tail, looking up at Morton, grateful, wagging. He drinks. Then Morton returns and scoops the bowl into the water again, and again goes with Fletch to the path between the houses, where Fletch laps and laps. Then Morton returns to the fountain and drinks with cupped hands, thinking of the ways of Dog, of the mystery that a city can be as great as this and be a land of Cat. A small village like the one near his home on the Ganges could be ruled by those who follow Cat, he knew. But a great city? Morton sees one man, then another, walking slowly in the heat of the desert. Several more, all looking aslant at them, sniffing the air as they pass, the sight of a dog making them uneasy. They see, too, one dog hurrying, its tail between its legs, thin, scrawny, its bones showing stark against her skin, her dugs dry and low, fearful. Fletch yips softly to her, but she hurries past, fearful, unwilling to stop, and a man throws a stone at her. Terrible. But no man throws a stone at Fletch, for he is too close to Morton, and Morton, so slight, not strong, is protection enough. They come then to a great square, much larger, where there are men selling and buying, many beneath tents, many more with their pots and fruit and bread and cloth and copper bracelets spread on rugs over the sand. Morton goes to a man, dressed lightly, a wide straw hat on his head. He seems rich, with gold on his wrist. He is neither selling nor buying, but talking and looking. Others come to him and bow. Morton goes to him and puts his bowl out. The man slaps it away. "Go," he says. "You are a taker. We do not give to those who do not earn their bread." Morton draws back, fletches aside, turning, sniffing the air, alert and nervous. So many men, but where are the women? Then Morton realizes. He sees that those who are covered in black, from the top of their head, no hair showing, to the ground, not even the least part of their feet can be seen. These are the women, covered in black, and this heat, only a slight opening for their eyes so they do not stumble, and their hands and gloves, black gloves. They do not buy, they do not sell, each walks 3 paces behind a man. Yes, they are not separate, he now realizes. Each follows a man. He cannot understand. He goes to another man, one with symbols on his white tunic, symbols with pictures of cats. All men who come to him are deferential, bowing. Not bowing as to the rich man, but bowing, it seems, in reverence. He has much gold on his hands, around his neck. Powerful he must be. A priest, perhaps. Morton goes to him, Fletch behind. Oh, powerful one, Morton says. I wish to learn the ways of the city here, so that I might stay and talk with those who live and love here. The man nods, full of pride, says, Ask what you wish, I shall tell you. Then Morton says, Those who are all in black, whose eyes only can be seen, they are women, are they not? Yes, says the priest or cat. They wear the fine woven black cloth to cover them. It is called a bear coat. A bear coat? Asked Morton. Yes, our ancestors came from the north, the far north, where we are told is very cold. There they killed the bears and wore their skins, black bears, and the women were covered there too. But why are the women covered? Asks Morton. Then the priest replies, Lest their skin, their hair, their lips, their hands, their feet excite in us lust. They are covered to remain chaste, and so we men will not be tempted. Then Morton opens his eyes wide and wider. He stands erect. He seems big, bigger than he has ever been, and he says, For your lust, not theirs, you make them suffer. You give them no way in the world except the way of a slave. Better that you should pluck your eyes out than to shame and torture women this way for your lust. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. He quivers. He has never spoken strongly before, but the voice of dog is in him. As Morton speaks, the priest is amused, a beggar, a stranger admonishing him. But as Morton continues, the priest grows angry and angrier still. You must learn to love, to give, to share. Come, take my hand in the path of peace, Morton says. And Fletch comes to his side, whining, looking at the priest, offering himself too. Then the priest roars, Seize them! They do not walk in the way of cat, they are infidels! Seize them! Many men grab Morton, but Morton will not fight. Harm no human, harm no dog, is the covenant of dog. And men circle Fletch, sure that he will bite and scratch, but he will not fight. Harm no human, harm no dog, is the covenant of dog. They put a rope round the neck of Morton and pull him, a rope around the neck of Fletch and pull him. Rough they are, unkind, strong. But Morton will not fight, will not struggle, running almost dragged along. Worried only for Fletch, he turns, but a fat man slaps him. Fletch yips and a thin man kicks him. They are pulled, almost dragged to a big square. A great temple is there, columns so high, decorated with many images of cat and many cats there, lapping at bowls of milk on the portico. They will not enter, they will not pollute the temple of cat with an unbeliever and a dog. Morton is held too far to touch Fletch, but he calls to him, Fletch, I am with you! And Fletch barks, not yips, and both are struck. Morton with a hand, Fletch with a stick. Morton bleeds a little, but Fletch will not attack. Harm no human, harm no dog. They will live in the way of love, for their example, their power, is no other. From the interior of the temple, a swarthy man comes out, dark, clothed in white, with a big white straw hat shading his face. Four women come behind him with small steps following, bent forward, eyes on the ground. The priest goes to this man and says, O high priest, this beggar questions our way, says we are full of lust, says we should be blinded rather than let our women wear bear coats. And he has a dog with him. He speaks of love, of peace, but he does not know that women want to wear bear coats. They are happy to wear bear coats. It makes them safe. They are safe with us. The high priest listens. He looks to be pondering what he knows already. He is an infidel, and the dog is unclean. Morton and Fletch wait. They wait. Morton bleeding around the mouth, the side of Fletch swelling where he has been struck. They wait. Will they be let go, allowed to leave the city of Cat? Then a small man comes up to the high priest. Fletch growls. He barks, and he is struck hard with a stick. Morton looks and sees that the man, in a tunic less ostentatious than that of the high priest, is more elegant. It is drooling, rubbing his hands together. And Morton sees that the man has no thumbs, but from his fingers slowly emerge claws, only a little, then retract. Then Morton knows that this is lust. One of the terrible cats of cats, servant of Ferrazzi, the mountain lion, sent to rid the world of the way of dog. Morton sees that this is lust. Morton abandons all hope as lust whispers in the ear of the high priest, and Morton says so softly, Be strong, Fletch, be strong. We walk in the way of love, of peace, of kindness. We shall win their hearts or we shall die, but we shall never harm them. For peace does not grow from violence. Love does not grow from violence. He is struck hard across the mouth, and Fletch barks once, then is struck hard against his muzzle with a stick. He bleeds, but he wags his tail. They are on a great mission from dog, and if they must suffer, it will be to teach of the way of love and to learn of the way of love. Then the high priest says, Seize them. Take them there to the center, for they shall be stoned. It is the will of Cat. They take Morton to the center of a great square, a round area of dust and sand in the center, and they dig a hole slowly, while Morton sweats in the sun. And they put him in the hole, up to his neck they put him, and fill the hole with sand. Only his neck and head are above the sand. Only his eyes can see, his ears can hear, his nose can smell. And next to him they drive a stake into the ground, a strong metal stake, and they tie Fletch to it. They tie him around the neck. He can move, but he cannot flee. But he would not flee. They need not tie him, for he would never leave Morton. He would not go. He crawls to Morton, but he cannot reach him. Morton turns to Fletch. He smiles. A great mission, my love, a great mission. And Fletch whines, licking his tongue, so close to Morton. Then three men come, carry a great basket filled with stones. And another three come with a great basket of stones. And another three come with more stones still. Trumpets sound, loud, brackish, and many men come to the square, many men. Then the high priest says, Bring the women forward, bring them forward. And many women are brought forward, all in their bear coats, all black. This man says that we should put out our eyes rather than you wear bear coats. What say you? and the women know not what to say. They rejoice to hear that a man can see their sorrow. They rejoice, but they are afraid. None speaks. They all look at the ground. He says he comes in love, but he comes in lust, wanting to see your bodies. And the women are afraid, for they know that the lust of men is great. But they remember, too, the prophecy passed from mother to daughter, from daughter to granddaughter to her granddaughter, that one day a man would come with a dog, and the dog would not be unclean, and they would walk in the way of peace and love. The women will say nothing now, nothing. Take stones from the basket, women. Take stones. You, the tall one, you first. Throw a stone at the man. Strike him. And she is led to the basket by a man. She takes a stone unwillingly and walks to the front, standing 20 paces from Morton and Fletch, at the edge of the circle that marks the unclean area. She throws the stone. It goes only a little way, so little. Not even close to where Morton looks at her with love and peace in his eyes. She whispers to the man who holds her, I am weak.
Another, calls the high priest.
And another woman is taken to the basket of stones, is given a stone, throws it. But it goes only a little way. It does not strike Morton or Fletch. And another woman, another, each saying, but I am weak. No stone strikes Morton or Fletch.
They are weak, they say, calls a man at the front.
Then you take a stone and strike the beggar.
So the man takes up a stone, he hefts it, and he throws with great force. But the stone goes above Morton's head, it passes high, and Morton is not struck. Fletch looks at Morton, not moving from the place, as close as he can get to Morton. He whines, then yips. They are strong, strong in the love of dog, the love of the flow of all. The stones will not hit them. Another man and then another throws a stone. But one goes wide, another sails above their heads, and another lands short, harmlessly, just 2 paces before Morton. The men are bewildered. They cannot hit the beggar. Never has this happened before. The strongest man with the surest arm takes a stone, a great rock. He has never missed. Always he has been the last, the one to throw the stone that kills. He walks to the front and stops. The high priest says, strike him. Then the man throws with great force. And the rock goes far to the right, very far. And Morton looks at Fletch. Fletch looks at Morton, and Morton calls out, there is a way of peace, of love, of kindness, of sharing and giving. Join us, my fellows. Join us, all men and women, in the way of peace and love. Then from the back comes a tall man, thin, irritable, whose loose white robes flying as he hurries to the front. Almost running he hurries. And Fletch howls. The scent of cat is great upon him. He takes a large rock from the closest basket. He picks it up and Morton sees that he has no thumbs, that he grasps the rock with 2 hands, and he sees the claws. And Fletch howls and growls and barks, and Morton says, do you not see, men and women? This is one of the cats of cat, those that torture and torment you. This is impatience, the cat who always pushes to the front, who makes you uneasy at all times. He has no thumbs. Look, his claws. Spurn him. Walk in the way of peace and love, where patience and giving and sharing is all. And they all hear. Some women begin to cry, some men begin to shake. But impatience hurries. There at the front, he takes the rock in his hands and comes a great shriek from far away, the sound of a mountain lion far away, beyond the walls, but so loud. Ferrazzi calls. And impatience throws the stone and it strikes Morton. It hits him hard, in his forehead a great gash. Then Morton knows the end is near. He looks at Fletch, and Fletch tries to lick him. Then Morton laughs. He thinks of his home, walking with Fletch at the side of Zelda and Rilly, the talk of the way of peace and love around the fire at night with all those who know only giving and sharing, and he laughs. Thinking of the way of Ralph, of laughter and joy, he calls out, "Laugh, all laugh, for there is always joy and love and the way of peace." And Fletch stands up, crippled on three legs, and yips. He jumps a little. And Morton sings while Fletch yips. "Look on the bright side of life. Arf, 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 arf. Look on the bright side of life." Then the men are pushed to the front by impatience, and they throw stones, many stones, each hits. Morton and Fletch, each hits. Blood, then more blood. Morton's face crushed in. Fletch twisted, his spine broken. And with his last breath, Morton calls, "Fletch, our mission is done. Father Knopf, we come to thee." And Fletch, in his last breath, barks softly. Then they are dead. But the men continue to throw stones, another and another and another, until Morton and Fletch are covered, a great mound of stones. Then all is quiet. The high priest calls out, "Leave them there. The mound of stones shows all the end of the way of the infidel." They leave. The men followed by the women three paces back, the square now empty. Impatience only standing near the circle, sniffing, licking his hand and patting down his hair, again and again, sighing in a mewing sigh. Then he too leaves to join lust and the high priest in the temple. Night comes. A woman appears without a bear coat, dressed, but her hands and head and feet now free of any cover. She comes furtively, she comes, and she weeps. She runs, she who had never run, she runs to the mound of stones over Morton and Fletch. Then she takes one stone, kissing it, weeping it, weeping. She takes it and hurries away. Never before had a woman entered the great square uncovered. Then another woman enters from a different path on the other side of the square. Uncovered too, she hurries to the mound of stones. She takes a stone, she weeps, and she carries it away with her. Then another and another, each separate, uncovered, scurrying, never more than one in the square. All night the women come, each to take a stone that would remind them of the way of peace and love. In the bright light of day, late, the men come out. The high priest stands on the portico of the temple. He looks at the dusty place, the circle of sand, and he sees nothing. No mound of stones, no head, no body of a dog. The men go to the place where Morton has been put into the ground. The sand is clear, as if never disturbed. They go to the stake where Fletch had been tied. The sand is clear, as if never disturbed. No blood, no hair, no fur, no sign that a beggar and a dog had been stoned there the day before. No sign, but only a sweet smell, a smell stronger than the smell of death, lingers in the air.